Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Will, are back, and a new season of Survivor has begun. Survivor 49's premiere is in the can. We have just watched the first person get voted out of this season. We've met 18 newbies officially. We watched a challenge that was kind of unique, and I might be spending a lot of time talking about challenge because I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. This is a mixed bag of a premiere for me.
Because there's not that much else to maybe talk about. Is that what you're maybe getting at?
I didn't want to say it like that. I was like, man, I got to have a good opening. It's the premiere. Let's be excited. Let's be hyped. But then I'm like, I felt like I had to go there right away. I didn't feel like I had a choice.
I mean, leave it to the specialists to instantly react to a premiere and go, there's not much to like here. I disagree a little bit, Phil. I think there's two ways to kind of look at a premiere. You can look at it as an individual episode of Survivor and rate it on those merits, which, hey, we can do. And it's probably not that great of a singular episode. But you can also look at a premiere and what its role is in a season, and that's introducing the characters and kind of laying the groundwork for what's to come. And at least on that front, I feel pretty good about like where we're at with the cast. I think we got to know a lot of people. There was not any time spent on needless idol searching or random advantages and reading notes and unlocking boxes and keys. It feels like every new era premiere is filled with so much just clutter that the cast kind of falls to the background. I do not feel that way about this premiere. I feel like we did get to know a lot of this cast. So that's the positive for me. But as like an individual episode of Survivor, like, was the boot great? Was there any actually that interesting camp life scenes? Like maybe a couple, but nothing like momentous. So
I like the shoe bandit. The shoe bandit was at least fun. At least
the shoe bandit's a nice something. I don't know where that's going. I think again that falls into more I'm interested to see where that's going than it didn't really land all that well because the shoe was found maybe, I don't know, 45 seconds after we were introduced to the shoe bandit.
I think that's kind of what he's doing though. I think he wants to purposefully like hide the shoe where it can be found. So it's like, oh, I must have just misplaced that or somebody must have moved it. Without thinking, oh, like this, like somebody's stealing my stuff. So I think it's serving the purpose he wants it to serve because he's hiding another shoe next episode.
Right. But he told us it's like 99% funny and 1% chaos. Was that it? 99% something and 1% chaos. I forget what the 99% is. It seems like he's leaning more than 1% towards chaos here. It seems like he's trying to get under his tribemate's skin. I think that's the end goal of this scheme, right?
I mean, definitely it has to be. If you're taking your tribe mates anything, you're trying to annoy them, right? Like that's just a fact. Like you're trying
entertainment
to
them. Ash is me.
Yeah.
Entertainment. Thank you.
I had that there. I said that, I think. Oh, anyway. Okay. But yeah, I do agree. Like, here's my question to you right off the bat. Let's ask this 3 minutes and 20 seconds in. Are you happy it was Nicole instead of Annie?
I don't like this answer, but I'm kind of indifferent because It's like, I think whoever didn't go home this week is going home next. And I do foresee this blue tribe losing again. This tribe hasn't won a thing yet. They don't have their machete. They don't have their flint. They're kind of down in the dump. So I imagine they will go to at least one more tribal. And I think if they were to go, especially, and I think maybe this goes against my first point, but it seemed like we had something maybe brewing with Annie in the future, but then Sophie already spilled the beans to the power players on this tribe and Alex and Jake. So I wish Sophie would have kind of kept that to herself and then we kind of have this forward momentum. But then again, if she doesn't go and spill that, there's not really any suspense with the boot, which you do need. So maybe this was like, I don't know, a way for them to at least put some doubt onto Nicole's name and have us believe that maybe Annie was going home. I mean, you do need some of that for the premiere. I don't know. Did you care? I mean, I know Annie's on your fantasy team. Nicole's on my fantasy team. So like selfishly.
Nicole's your second pick, just so you know. 2-5.
I thought Nicole was going to last. She seemed like a gamer again in a cast from the preseason that didn't seem like they were going to game and they were going to be all kumbaya. I actually thought this cast seems like they are playing. It seems like we have a lot of like overlapping layered alliances and it's only been one episode. So I do like where we're at there.
Yeah. I was hoping Nicole was going to stay. To be completely honest, just right off the, I think Nicole has more to bring to the show than Annie does at this point. And again, I'm gonna preface this right now because I don't want people like being like this guy's an asshole the entire season. Like we're here, we're giving our honest thoughts about the episodes we're watching. Like I'm not gonna get personal with people. I'm not gonna do any of that. So I hope people don't take things the wrong way. I'm gonna say that right off the bat. Because
whoa, have you been catching heat or is this like a premiere?
I've been catching heat, Will. I've been catching heat. So I just need to say that right off the bat. Wow. Otherwise, why are we doing a podcast, right? Here's my thing. I wish Annie went home. I've seen this character twice in two of the last three seasons. I kept saying it's Ben and it's Sue. If they had a baby, it's Annie. And when I watched this episode play out, my mind didn't change on that. And what happened with Ben and Sue? Like they both finished third place. They both were part of some episodes and they weren't part of other episodes. I mean, I watched whatever episode was airing in Miami at FIU where Ben was literally interviewing people in line. He got one confessional in an hour and a half, and I think it was final eight or final seven of that season. And so for me, I just don't think that Annie has that much more to give or really that much more to maneuver. We are being set up for her to be a little bit more of a gamer than anybody thought. That was being set up right off the bat. But to me, Nicole felt like she had more to deliver on this season. I think Nicole would have been able to maybe try to find some cracks in the alliance. Based on what I saw, if Blue goes to Tribal Council next, when I'm doing my power rankings this Sunday, I am ranking Annie 17th place. Like, I don't think that changes. And so for me, yeah, I would have rather seen Nicole survive because Nicole had a little bit more personality in this episode. We got like 45 minutes in and Annie hadn't spoken yet. And I was like, I'm not surprised by this. Like, that's where I expect Annie to fall in this because that's where that archetype falls every single time. I don't need another third place version of this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's only been one episode. I will agree that Nicole definitely had more to bring. I think she's more of a fan of the game, probably willing to play harder. Although from what we did see of Annie, that she was, you know, already plotting kind of an uprising against the bromance of Alex and Jake. So her head's in the game. But like Nicole is someone, if she's there, she's probably someone who can win or at least someone who can like get jury votes at the end where, yeah, it's kind of sucks. But this archetype has been someone who gets zero votes at the end and takes up a spot at final three. And I don't know. That's kind of where we're at with casting, though. It seems like we always get, like, they always try to fill this older female player. We've seen it with Sue. I mean, even with Chrissy last season in 48. Like, they always try to fill this role, and it's very, very rare that this role hits on someone who's interesting. I mean, I'm a big fan of Julie from 45, but even I remember bringing her up for some sort of ballot or second chance or maybe an alternate 50 casting. I think we were at Bloom, and Bloom goes like, she really didn't have that many confessionals, even though as much as you like her, as much as she was playing hard, like she didn't really stand out either. So like this has been kind of a weak spot from casting, and it's, I mean, maybe it's a tough position to fill.
It has, and honestly, if you really think about since the entirety of Survivor, with the exception of the first couple of seasons, this has been the role they have the hardest time filling. So it feels like they tried to go a different route with kind of like the zanier version here. And I'm not saying Annie was bad TV. I'm just sitting here saying, like, if I had to pick between the two, one, I thought Annie was going home, but two, like, I would have rather seen Nicole hang around a little bit longer.
Hey, Nicole's on my fantasy team. She was my second pick. So I thought I had higher prospects for her. Absolutely.
Her spitting in Jeremiah's face, well, I laughed harder than I've laughed in a very long time watching Survivor. So
she spit and then she like full vomit too. And we
had that
like,
right here. This is a super chat here from St. Clippo. Is that the most on-screen vomit we've ever seen? I think it is.
I feel like we usually get some sort of blur on that. Like you get the blur and you get the fuzzy screen as if they were like covering up a nude body part perhaps. But this was like, we're just going to, let it go. So we have seen that coming as foreshadowing, like, okay, she's going home. She spit on Jeremiah's face and then she had her full vom on camera. Like, and they weren't trying to hide it. They just like, this is Nicole. She's releasing fluid from her mouth and we are releasing her from the game as the first boot. That's a tough way to go.
I will say this. If Sage goes home next week, I'm fully in on this bodily fluid theory, and I will just be assuming that the next person to go will be somebody who is...
what did Sage... What happened with Sage again?
She was just talking about she pees so much, and
she... Oh, she loves poop. Aqua
right? Dump. Yeah, she loves poop. I don't know.
There was some odd... Yeah, this was an... I think... I don't know. What's the best way to describe this premiere? Maybe kooky? Like, it was just kind of kooky. Like, I feel like we had so many just weird scenes because, again, no advantages, no idols, like... Just people introducing themselves and feeling each other out, like Sage poop scene. We have Jawan that was like mad that he couldn't start the fire. And then Savannah's like, I don't like that Jawan's mad. Yeah. He start, like, I don't know if I can work with him. Like, wait, what was that scene? Like, I was pretty confused by that. So, weird vibes to start, maybe.
Well, and especially what made that one even weirder, that scene right there, was the fact that, like, she had just talked about wanting Jawan to be part of her crew. Like, Jawan was already in, right? It was her, Jawan, and Shannon. And the fourth was going to be Rizzo. And then all of a sudden that happened. And it was, well, now I have to figure out who my fourth is going to be. Is it going to be Nate or Jawan? And I'm like, wait, so who's your third? Are you just already...
Yeah, is Rizzo already in here? Or, like, I thought Jawan was holding auditions for the fourth spot.
Yeah, that's... And like, Jawan felt like he was so glued into that group of three that I'm like, when did this happen? So that was definitely a little strange, a little weird for me, the way that whole thing shook out. Do you like the fact that we had no idols in this episode? No advantages, nothing.
That's a good question. I mean, I think it might have been fun for one tribe to like unlock this season's theme. You know, every season in the new era, they try to do something a little bit different. Like, what's our wrinkle? What's our new way of coming across idols, or like what your mission is? I think it would have been fun to kind of touch on it, especially because there was no additional advantages introduced. There wasn't any journeys. There weren't any lost votes. We had the head-to-head challenge with Rizzo versus Alex, which I'm sure we'll get to, which maybe for me was like the highlight of the episode. Yeah. I don't think I needed like some new like produced segment or journey like forced in here. But if one of the tribes kind of like got going on its idol mission, I think that would have maybe just added a little bit of life into the episode. But then again, Phil, sometimes on these premieres, you have all three start on their idol missions. They all three get the box and the key. And then you're watching boxes and keys for 30 minutes and you're reading notes for 30 minutes. You're like, I don't feel like I got to know anybody. So like you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. This might have kind of fallen as a nothing really happened this episode, but I'd rather have this early and get to know the cast than to spend all episode, you know, fiddling with keys and trinkets and like lining up paper to release a symbol that gives you a code, silence, listen, whatever. I don't know.
It's so hard for me because as I watch this,
right? So you hate to be like, man, we needed an idol. Damn, we needed an advantage. Like, you don't want to be like that.
But here's the thing. Okay. I feel like we have watched the same cast so many times now, right? Like, it's the same archetypes over and over and over and over and over and over again. look, every one of these people is a different version, right? Like I can sit here. Jake is standing out already. Matt is standing out already. Obviously, Savannah and Rizzo are standing out already. Like that is very apparent, right? But I've seen these versions. I'm seeing Nate play the game and I'm saying, what if John Lovett won his first immunity challenge and actually got to play for more than 3 days? Like that's, I'm seeing all of that. So I think my problem is because I've seen the archetypes so much and because we've kind of, they're focusing so much on the meta right now of, I can't believe I'm here. This is amazing. My feet are in the sand. I'm playing the game.
I'm in the TV screen. You couldn't get more meta than I'm literally in your TV screen. And he's saying that while he's in the TV screen.
And we hear him talk about, I was an alternate until 30 minutes before I went to bed last night and this, that, and all that, right? It's so meta that I think what the problem is because the storylines are so rehashed over and over again early on until the characters really develop into who they're going to be and what they're going to play the game like and what the strategies are going to be. Without the idols and advantages, that was a long 2 hours. I don't normally say that about a Survivor episode, especially a premiere. I felt the length on that 2 hours where there was one commercial break at 9:10 and the next one was at 9:19. And I was like, how was that only 9 minutes? And I just think there needed to be something to spice it up. And I know all the time we sit here and we say too much with the advantages, too much with the journeys, too much with the idols, too much with that. But at the end of the day, we argued all of last season when the votes were happening for Survivor 50. Idols are a good thing for Survivor. Now, I do agree with you. If you're going to not include the stuff and you're going to just make it about the cast, do it early. I respect the fact that Survivor is trusting their cast. I really do appreciate that they're doing that because that's something that I feel they haven't done enough in the new era. The problem is when the cast gets as repetitive as this has felt, you say to yourself, okay, I wish there was a little bit something to spice this up because, yeah, the Rizzo moment was cool. We also saw Kyle and Kevin do a very similar thing last season, except Kyle helped Kevin rather than Rizzo cheating off of Alex. Like, so it's half a dozen of one, six in the other. Like, that's just how it feels to me right now. So, yeah, I think that this proves, hopefully the fans voted for Idols for season 50. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
And I know they did. But hopefully they did because I that was missing for me. And I respect the decision, mix it up, change it up. But you're mixing that up and not mixing up enough of everything else to create the drama. This is not a standout premiere for me. Apologies.
Oh, no, not at all. I think we kind of have been dancing around that since we
somebody
started.
Saying the damn words, right?
But you keep saying here, you mentioned a couple times in that that monologue there, Phil. Well done, by the way.
No, thanks.
You said decision by a survivor. I don't know if this was a decision by a survivor. I imagine there are three beware envelopes or three somethings wrapped up in something with the ribbon, the color of your tribe or some. There's something out there and it might just be no one found it within the first cycle and they can't show it. And then they didn't add any like specific journey other than the head-to-head challenge, and they didn't have any new advantage or new twist at the start on the mat or, you know, nothing during that first challenge where you run across the corner and you have like a group decision from other people on different tribes. Like, they didn't add any of that in. And so when there's nothing added from production in the premiere to make like a highlight producible premiere moment, and then the tribes happen to not find the idols, then you're kind of left with nothing. But I do not think this was a decision by the show. I just think no one looked for the idols. And I think the cast is probably wisening up. I mean, you heard it a little bit when Annie was alone, that the other five quickly got together and were like, what's Annie doing? Is she looking for an idol? Now, we never saw that she actually was. But when you go off alone, it's a bad look, and that has been true since idols were introduced to the game, since it became a staple of the show, and we're in our 49th season. Is it that crazy to believe that just no one really went looking for an idol? Or maybe people went looking, but it was such a brief time because they didn't want to get caught, and in that brief time, they weren't able to find anything, and that's just what we're left with. It wasn't a decision.
And can I make a counter argument very quickly here? What if, because when this was filming in what? May? It was filming
probably
in April.
Because
I think they saw half of 48. Yeah, they didn't see all of 48. Can I make the counter argument that potentially they wanted to test out for 50 in case the votes did come in a certain way, because I don't remember if the idol one was one of the last ones we voted on. Maybe they wanted to test out what a premiere would look like and how they would edit that if there were no idols. Maybe there's idols on the season, but maybe they really didn't hide anything episode one, or because it isn't relevant, maybe they are testing something. I don't know. That could be a potential of, we need to make sure that this could actually work, because I know some people named Blake who do this podcast would say they're probably going to rig the votes anyway. Well, maybe if this really doesn't work, they do sit there and say, maybe we should rig those votes. I don't know. So I that's just my counterpoint, is maybe they're trying something here.
I don't know. This is not season 50 in the hands of the fans. Jeff likes idols, production likes idols, CBS likes idols. I mean, we even know fans like idols. Like, again, the whole no idol thing is such a strawman argument that you guys say too many advantages. And yes, that's what everyone says. Too many advantages. They take up too much screen time. They mess with the game. There's a lot of luck involved in how you get them and how they even operate at times and all these twists. That's not the same thing as like, well, we don't want any idols whatsoever. Yeah. So I don't think that's a real threat. I don't think it's actually going to happen. I don't think Survivor would go out of its way to make sure, hey, let's not have an idol in our premiere, especially if they're not adding anything in on their own. There's no, like, what's it called? Like the amulet. There was no amulet. There was no like special item or trinket this episode whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. It will. I'm looking over at the chat, you know, here and there as we're talking. It seems like this has been mostly lukewarm to negative reaction. I mean, look, that could just be our chat. Maybe the Australian Survivor people who were praising AU versus the World are back to just shit on US Survivor because that's what they do. But I mean, look, there's potential here, right? I'm not saying that there's not. The absence of the idol was felt though in this episode. And maybe you're right. Well, maybe this was just, it's hidden and nobody did anything with it for the first 3 days. And that very well could be it. It seemed like a lot of people felt that they found their people when they stepped on their beach, right? Like Sophie found her Jake. She said, I want the big guy. She got him right off the bat. Alex and Jake, they felt they bonded right away. Jeremiah,
Alex and Annie,
Alex,
Sophie and Jeremiah. I mean, that blue tribe is so layered. We really did get to know the blue tribe very well.
Yeah. And so that's going on there. And then you go look at the red tribe and you have everybody who's feeling each other out and feels good with each other. Shannon's got the energy. They're all sitting down doing yoga. Like then you go to the yellow tribe and Matt did a very good job. I got to commend Matt here because a lot of these older guys get out there and they can't keep their mouth shut, or they put palm fronds on people who are trying to sleep to try to keep them warm and then somehow win $1 million. Anyway,
the winner, but, though, that's how you win. Yeah.
But I really have to commend Matt for keeping his mouth shut when he knew what he needed to do, but he let everybody else figure it out rather than becoming that kind of bossy older guy right off the bat. So I want to commend him. But even that yellow tribe, Steven's in with everybody. But what if people don't like Steven? But then Christina and MC, or I know we see them like running the challenge together and talking to each other a little bit. Like they seem like they have some sort of bond. Like it's just, I feel like maybe people weren't actually looking that much. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
That's possible. It's so weird. Because I don't think Survivor wanted there to be, especially like Jeff, I don't think he wanted there to be like an advantageless, idolless 2 hours straight of the show. Like, I don't think that's what he has when he's like doctoring up his perfect Survivor episode or perfect Survivor season. Mm-hmm. So, Yellow Tribe, I didn't think we got much from. I thought the Yellow Tribe was losing because I felt like we were kind of in the dark on where like the alliances were.
Maybe it was
just because they were so good, like they're not going to go to tribal for a while. But I just feel like I don't really know the Yellow Tribe. I feel like I didn't hear from MC at all. I didn't hear much from Christina other than that she's afraid of birds. Even Jason, we got just a little bit. I feel like I got to hear Steven and then the Matt scene that you talked about, but that was kind of it. Even that Sophie on that side, on the yellow side, I feel like
I don't know her. And don't know MC at all.
Don't know MC or Sophie at all. And then again, Christina with the bird phobia, that seems like kind of like a, for an episode without any idols or advantages, fully focused on developing the cast, feels like Yellow does need some love.
Do you feel that if you would have known she had a bird phobia, she would have been a quitter just like you thought Soda was? Is that where you were going to, would you have gone there with this?
I don't know if I would say quit, maybe potential quit. Like, she's afraid of birds. She might quit. Yeah, I mean, the Soda's fear of butterflies never came out on the show proper. It was only in her pregame press.
Yeah, I mean, so, but I, you know what this felt like, that Yellow Tribe? It felt like an old school dominant tribe where it was like, we're not even going to bother to really show you them. Like, they didn't, and this is what really hurt them is they weren't in like two full segments because you have the tribe. Well, three commercial breaks they weren't a part of. The final portion of the game when they go to tribal council, the build up to tribal council, but also the Rizzo versus Alex. So you're getting to hear more from Rizzo versus Alex. And then when they get back, we're hearing how the tribe is reacting to Rizzo delivering. We're hearing how the tribe is reacting to Alex not delivering. We don't get to hear from the Hina tribe at all. So I do agree. We heard from them absolutely by far the least amount. This felt like that old school. And I said this a little bit. And for anybody who doesn't know who the 50 players are, I guess like we're going to talk about it on here. So that's just like my warning. If you don't want to know, like, I don't know. I don't know what podcast.
5 seconds.
Because I feel like everybody's going to do it. But yeah, I'm going to talk about it for a little bit.
Three, two, one.
All right. Rizzo and Savannah being on 50, I had said was going to affect the way this season was going to be edited. And it is, right? We got so much from Rizzo and Savannah tonight. And Rizzo's made sense because Rizzo obviously is a part of the best moment maybe of this premiere. Savannah got a lot and didn't go to tribal council and didn't need to be getting the content that she was. I'm not saying she was bad by any means. I'm just saying we did not hear stuff from Savannah that we needed to hear in this episode tonight. But because they're going to be playing again, and maybe that tribe does really well. Maybe the winner is on that Uli tribe. I know I had Juwan as my winner pick, which I'm a little worried about after this episode. But it's like
that he couldn't start fire, Phil. That's a death sentence, man.
That definitely took away from Hina a little bit, though, because I do feel that out of all of the premieres recently, this was the one where one tribe felt the most pushed to the side in a long time. Matthew C. All-Stars is a good season, by the way. Where is that coming from? That's a bad take. But wait, Will, do you want to hear a good one here? I got to bring this up to you because I saw this early on, and like this just needs to be mentioned because it's like, what even is this question? Like, I don't know if there's more to this or not. But we literally got this one from Jairo D. Garcia, who always asks the most off-the-wall question. But he said, Phil and Will, what happens if Savannah's on Big Brother 27 instead of Survivor 49? Well, the outcome would have been different. Yeah, I don't even know what that question
is. I think so, yeah. It would be a different
cast. Was she supposed to be on 27? I didn't know that if that was the case. But, like, what?
No clue.
Anyway. Speaking of random non sequiturs, wait here, since we have like a weird lull, like this video, subscribe to the channel. It's going to be a massive season. I'm going to get into all of the podcasts that we have coming up towards the end here. So get ready because Tegwith's doing her own show that's going to be airing on Mondays. And her first guest is Elaine. So we're going to have like five episodes a week.
Whoa.
Yeah. Crazy. So like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can make sure you get in on all of our stuff. Can we talk a little bit about both challenges here? You're the challenge guy.
You mean three challenges?
Yeah. Yeah, the first one. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We had three full challenges.
That's true. Is that the most challenges we've had in this? No, because they do it all the time in the premiere now because they're doing. But we don't
before
ever
we
see
get
the
to
full
that,
team run it like that, right?
Before we get to that, if they're going to do 2 hours for the premiere and they know that heading in, and we know that they have a 90-minute episode sometime in the future where we're getting rid of two people at once in one episode. Is it better to just do it in the premiere?
Ask Sarah Wilson, man. I agree. I think it
like,
is.
Didn't Survivor we do 41? That? I feel like, yeah, Survivor 41, as many things as the new era has kind of like fumbled, I think the very first episode they got something right. Have a 2-hour premiere, have one immunity challenge. Tribe that wins gets immunity. The other two tribes are going to tribal. Then you get tribal dynamics from two tribes right away. You have conflict right away on two tribes, and you don't have two tribes sitting there being happy. I think that gets the season off to a really good start. Then you also get rid of two people, and now you're down to 16 people by week two, and you have like you don't have this sped up. You're not racing the clock against 26 days, and you can breathe a little bit. Especially here where we feel like, man, not that much happened over 2 hours. It felt like a long 2 hours. Plus, just said, Phil, we have three challenges in this episode. Like, and it still felt like, we're kind of humming along here, waiting for something to happen. I think that would be better for the new era, especially if they're sticking to 26 days on, you know, beyond 50. Let's get two people out of here quickly. Send two tribes to tribal council right away.
Yeah, and also, like, I feel like that's probably going to happen on season 50, being that it's 24 people, three tribes.
Totally different for 50, trip. But yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have a new era
format.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think that I've always made the argument that there shouldn't be double boot episodes later. We don't need to split the tribes up later. Like, we don't need to, when they merge, but then immediately demerge. I've always said that's dumb. Like, do that early. We don't know the players yet that much. Like, honestly, like, yeah, does it suck for Abraham and Sarah that they both went in the first episode? Sure, but I'm over it by now. I think Sarah's over it by now, even though she was technically the second boot. Like, she's going to parties. She's still buddies with a lot of the people on the show. Like, I don't think she really cares that much 6 years later, 5 years later.
Yeah, and, like, if your tribe loses the next challenge, like, you're probably the first boot anyway. I mean, maybe you can recover in a day, but, like, I don't know. If you're going to do it, you can do it over 3 days, too. Like, let the tribes get to know each other. And, look, two of you guys are going to tribal council. I think that just is better overall for the season.
Yeah. The one thing I will say here, Nick, like Vitiello, I guess, says it was nice having zero idle talk for once and no journey outside of the sweat savvy replacement. I will say this, no journey. Great. Like, I don't need journeys on the show. Like, I think the idle thing is important, but in terms of journeys, I could go every episode of Survivor from here until the end of time without seeing a journey. I do know that we consider this a journey for our over under game and for our prop.
Do we? That's, I always we do. Forget where we land with that.
I said it at this season because I was like, I'm not going to be confused this time. I'm just saying it counts. But I do think that, like, I'm fine with this at the beginning of the season. I, like, that's not the kind of stuff I'm saying was missing from this 2 hours. I'm just saying, like, idle talk, stuff like that. I do think that that is, you know, I don't necessarily need to see them figure out this box and we have two different people doing the same thing at the same time. But, you know, I do think it was missing. Three challenges. Three. And so the first one, somebody said it was exactly what they did at the beginning of Survivor 43. What I liked, what I enjoyed about these challenges, and this is just what I'll say, with the first one and with the final one, I liked that they were moving. I liked that the players were, like, really on the move. There was something nice about watching players run into the jungle. We don't see that enough on Survivor anymore. Like, I know that sounds so ridiculous, but there was something so off, like, they're running into the woods to untie the serpents. That felt so good. I like that. I like when you're actually being physically tested. I feel like so often Survivor tries to level the playing field on all of their challenges. That's not what I want to watch in a challenge. I don't want to look at my watch for the first 10 minutes of a challenge and wait for them to get to the puzzle. Like, this was fun. I like watching, like, who is Dragon? Who is having a hard time? Jeremiah and Nicole struggled on the immunity challenge, and it was very visible for everybody. Christina and MC did a great job. Like, I like to watch that happen. So I appreciate that we got to see this. I really appreciated that the snake puzzle at the end, I don't know if we've seen this version before, but I like that we had the three different people working together to try to get it across. I thought that was a nice twist on a very familiar, like, maze. And yeah, I just like that we were moving. And even the one that Rizzo and Alex did felt a little bit unique compared to the other one. So give me movement, not quite so simple, like, make it bigger. And again, I do think that this might be part of, we're building up for 50. Things are going to be a little bit bigger for 50. We're already going to make the builds for 50. We're going to use some of the same builds for 49 that we're using for 50, right? Because, like, the seasons do have a lot in common when they do this. If you're already going to build it for 50, just build it a little bit earlier and use it for 49 too. So I just appreciated that there was a lot of movement going on here.
Yeah, and I like those giant snakes. I think we've seen a lot of, like, we've seen the salamander, the newt, we've seen the snake, and it's usually one big one for the tribe. I like how these were, like, three small. I mean, they're still each 200 pounds, Jeff said. So, like, those things are heavy. And, yeah, bring the physical challenges. Like, let people's strengths and weaknesses show early. We are in the tribe part of the game. Yeah, I was a fan overall. I mean, what did you think of, you know, Rizzo's big hero moment here? Were you like, that's unfair, that shouldn't be allowed? Or were you game with it?
Alex, why don't you just dig deeper?
Like, I mean, that's the answer, right? Like, it is, yeah. It is like Jeff's phrase. And Jeff, it's funny, Jeff isn't there to announce this one. He announces all the other challenges and he's running around. He's literally yelling at the players, you got to dig deep. And that's all that Alex had to do, was, like, dig deep. Yeah. Because if you saw the map and if you saw the X where it was, like, they had this course of coconuts and it was very distinct logs and they were, like, pointed in the same way. There's a clear area and the X was in between these two logs. he started digging in other areas. It's like, no, the X is obviously between the two logs. You know, you just literally, Phil, dig deeper.
Dig deeper. That's it. No, and so, yeah, I have no problem with Rizzo going over and cheating. Also, like, Rizzo, if you can't do, like, a very basic jigsaw, like, this was a very basic, like, build the border at least. He wasn't even doing the border. He was going and cheating to get the border. Like, there was an outline around that thing.
It looked like there was an outline. Yeah, I know the pieces weren't outlined. It's not like your classic jigsaw where there are edge pieces, corner pieces, and then like pieces that have spots all over. These all had flat edges. They were just like, seemed like to be some sort of triangles or polygons with all flat sides. So maybe a little bit trickier. Did you think that maybe Alex should have like ripped up his puzzle once he got it and then commit the map to memory? But then it's like, wait a second, if you dig and then you go back to your puzzle and it's all shuffled up, you're like, wait a second, am I digging in the right place? Uh-oh. So like, you almost have to leave it intact just for that peace of mind that you can go back and check it.
Well, my question is, can you destroy it? If he were to destroy his puzzle, does he technically not?
Does that count as being completed? I think so. Yeah. I think that's, if it's part of a phase, you're usually allowed to go back and.
Like, and the hard part about this is, he has nobody to ask, right? Like, there's producers there, but like, if Jeff was there, he could straight up ask Jeff. They're probably being told, like, don't be interacting with the camera people because it's just camera people.
You can ask producers there. They just when they air it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, yeah, the right move would have been to destroy it. Also, though, like, yeah, Alex, I think that this was Alex running into a bit of a, I'm not Survivor savvy yet. I'm new to this game. I just got here. And not realizing, like, if it says it's between those logs, it's between those logs. They bury this stuff deep on the show sometimes. Like, we had that one challenge in Koron that's obviously infamous for Caleb almost dying, where, like, they were digging and digging and digging and digging. And it was, like, I think Jeff even said, like, in his, like, he was doing, like, the stuff with Dalton Ross at the time. And he said, like, I'm looking at Kierhofer going, that's there, right? Like, it's buried, right?
Oh, Kierhofer's like, yeah. Yeah, like, hey. I can't tell you how many digging challenges I've been a part of. And like, you have to dig them deeper than you think because you can't have someone like walk over it with their feet or like kick it up with their hand and like it just comes up and then it's not there and then somebody can see it. And like, that's not fair. Like, you have to make sure it stays buried if it's run over because it's usually in the middle of a course. And I've been at times where it's like, I know it's there, but it's like, oh my gosh, you guys just dig. Like, I think it becomes most people when they dig, especially on a Survivor challenge, you have like one X, or I guess it depends on any challenge, really. It's like you go for breadth first over depth. You try to cover this like broad area going like a couple inches in just to see if you hit anything. And it's like, just not how it's ever going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I have no problem with what Rizzo did here. This is different from like Liz running back to grab a piece for Kenzie to beat Maria. Like he cheated, but everybody cheats in every puzzle nowadays. Like if they don't want him to cheat, they'd put a divider up and say you can't look. Like
You have the cloth that you could then put over.
Yeah.
They have that a lot on all the combo locks. You do your combo, then you can cover it with the canvas. And I remember, I think it was like Austin in 45, like didn't cover his and someone could go look at it. That's not there. So this is maybe intentional as a way to get somebody to catch up. So if someone has their map completed, but again, like it shouldn't even be that much of an assist. Like you should know that, okay, I'm building a map of this area and I have all the pieces. Like looking at the solution shouldn't help you all that much, but it was so much for Rizzo that he had to like bring pieces individually over and lay them on top and match them. Like that's how bad he was at puzzles. Cause Phil, when he first volunteered to go and said, I hope it's not a puzzle or we're cooked or something. I don't know what his wording was. I thought he was, again, Phil, we talked about this in preseason. For whatever reason, we had this image of Rizgod as like this nerdy Survivor fan. But, and then like the cast assessment came out and you were like, I'm surprised. Like Rizgod's like tall. And then he mentions himself as an athlete here today. He's like, yeah, I'm an athlete. And then when the puzzle came up, I was like, oh, he's trying to downplay his nerdiness. He's trying to downplay his ability to solve puzzles. So he tells his tribe, if it's a puzzle, we're cooked. He gets there. It's a puzzle. And he doesn't go, gotcha, tribe. I'm really good at puzzles. He goes, no, I am really pretty bad at puzzles. I seriously suck at these. And so, yeah, he is feeling like this this different, he's like nerdy in his own way, but like nerds are usually good at puzzles and nerds usually aren't athletic. So like he's got his own flavor going on.
Yeah, I appreciate what I'm getting from him because it's different. And that's like where his archetype, like he feels like he's almost changing that archetype, right? He feels like he's our first authentically Gen Z person on the season. And I think that's really coming out in everything he's doing, where it's like, you know, the things he's saying and the things he's doing. Like, I feel like it's very clear that Rizzo is kind of maybe working towards what the next era of Survivor is going to be. That doesn't mean he's like some massive game changer. I know he said he wants to be on the Rushmore. I'm not going to sit here and be like Riz God Rushmore just because I know he's going to be, you know, playing. But it's like, no, like you just see it's a little bit different. And it is surprising because I thought for sure, like, yeah, this is the dorky guy who grew up in Yonkers who loves Survivor and he calls himself R-I-Z-G-O-D, the man, the myth, the legend.
And he can't do puzzles.
Can't do a puzzle. I was surprised. I was honestly floored. I really was.
But good for him. They piecing that all together. And then, I mean, he did get lucky that Alex dropped the ball on this one.
He did. And you know what, though? Good for Alex for being able to go back to camp and kind of find his way in. What did you think about this Jake-Alex bromance?
Jake just decided I like Alex when Alex volunteered to do the mission for the tribe.
Yeah.
So Jake was in. And then I think what Jake and Sophie were talking before then. They locked in at three. It seemed like we had threes come together, at least on this red tribe and blue tribe. It was blue. We had, remind me, I'm getting the Sophie, colors mixed up, but it was Sophie, Jake, Alex is a threesome, and they are looking for their fourth. And then we had Juwan, Shannon, and Savannah come together as a three, and they were looking for their fourth. And then we kind of had some like mingling, like overlapping, where like Alex was able to pull in Annie, and then it seemed like, I don't know, it's at some point like Savannah and Nate seemed like they're on good terms. So maybe we go tribe by tribe and like kind of feel out the relationships. Does that sound like a good idea?
I think so. Let's go to blue first since they're the one who went to tribal. I really want to commend. So, Will, your winner pick did end up being Sophie without the E from this blue tribe. That's who
you yes. I didn't podcast with Phil in so long. We were both traveling. And honestly, I thought we were doing one last week. And I was
in ended Europe, up being on the wrong Europe, day.
And then I was sick.
Yeah.
And then, so it's been quite a while back here with Phil. So it's good to be back, Phil.
Yeah. I literally like normally Will gets tired of me texting and being like, hey, we got another one up, especially with all the Patreon stuff.
Oh,
and
it's Patreon is almost every day.
I don't think you and I have podcasted in over a month. That's how long, like, that's I think crazy. The last podcast we did together was the fantasy draft. So whenever that fantasy draft happened, that's the last time Will and I have podcasted together. So we're back. But Sophie is your winner pick.
I didn't want to pick Savannah or Rizka. That felt just like
you're not blank.
Yeah, that just feels annoying. Like, make a real pick, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just was like, I didn't really feel strong about anyone. So Sophie was a little bit of a dart throw there, but she seems to be in good graces with kind of like everybody.
The move that I have to commend her for, and then I'll let you talk all about Sophie, but I just have to praise her for this. Alex and Jake are bromancing up, and she's already been close with Jake, and she feels like she might be the number one, and then she realizes maybe not. And her and Jeremiah have that conversation, and she says, why don't we work with those guys? And then she says, but we need to be each other's number one. We need to tell each other everything. And I really, really respect
Jeremiah's like, I just told you. What do you want from me? I just told you.
And then he laughed really loud for like 45 minutes. I really, really loved that she realized that of I might be good with Alex, I might be good with Jake, but I'll never be as good with either of them as they are with each other because they're skipping, holding hands, jumping into the woods. I need to make sure I find that person, and for her to suss that out immediately, but still not panic and say, I got to get rid of Alex or I got to get rid of Jake, still understand that they're useful for her and could be a strong core four, but just realize I need my true number one. That has really nothing to do with Alex at all. He has a little bit to do with Jake, but it doesn't seem like he really has much to do with Alex at all.
Yes, no, that was a good move. Bring somebody else in. Although I've already faulted Sophie for like kind of spilling the beans on Annie's plan, because I feel like it's a good one, and I feel like it's an out for her. And there's no reason to like give up that information when Annie came to you directly. That's something you kind of hold in your back pocket, and you can navigate. Should you need to go to tribal again. So good on her there for getting an ally, and good on her for being in the majority. And good on her for having Annie being someone that Annie clearly trusts and Annie can confide in, because Annie does spill, like, kind of puts her, you know, agenda out there for Sophie. But no need to go run and tell everybody about that.
Do you think that, because you were saying there's a lot of layers here, right? Like, we're seeing a lot.
Yes, it feels, for a premiere, for being one episode in, it feels like we are layered, because at the same time that I'm talking about Annie and Sophie having this conversation where Annie must feel something towards Sophie, we also have Annie and Alex that made a relationship. Now, I don't know how strong that is. It seemed like Alex was a little bit kind of like, uh-oh, why did Annie go talk to Sophie about splitting up Jake and Alex? Like, that doesn't sound good if you're Alex, but there is something there. We've seen the seeds planted for this, like, mother-son bond that Alex has wanted to form since coming into the game.
Yeah, and he says, she's like, you can't call it mother son though, like, you better not call me mother. Like, so she's like she's very aware of that she's older, but she doesn't want to be viewed as kind of that older woman. Do you think though that, you know, the preview is showing Sophie talking about, she's a Karen, talking about Annie and all of that, do you think that this group of four of Jeremiah, Alex, Jake, Sophie, if they go again, like, it's an easy boot on Annie, or do you think that there's the potential that Alex is getting too close to Annie? And they could potentially, Jeremiah and Sophie, try to figure out a way to split votes, or who knows if there'll be lost votes coming up, any of that stuff, to potentially get rid of Alex to pretty much give Jake no ammo. Like, where do you think that that's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, I guess from the preview, it seems like there's some tiff between Sophie and Annie. So maybe it's not as easy for those three, Jeremiah, Sophie, and Annie, to get together and vote out one of Alex or Jake. And hey, maybe this is a good move by Sophie that she was able to turn Annie, or at least turn Alex and Jake against Annie this early by saying, look, Annie just came up to me. Maybe that kind of cuts any ties that Jake and Alex want to, you know, they're going to have Annie circled. They're going to say, I'm worried about that person. She's already gone up to Sophie and said they can put a three together against us. So maybe that is smarter for Sophie than I'm giving her credit for. Because, I mean, if Sophie can limit Alex and Annie, make that thing not happen, make sure that duo doesn't kind of come to fruition, then she's kind of in the driver's seat. So, sadly, I do think it's hard not to see a world in which, like, they're not just going to vote Annie out. Like, I don't see, you know, Jake and Alex are not going to turn on each other. I think that is a very strong duo. And I mean, the only other scenario you could see them bringing in Annie to target Jeremiah or Sophie. But like at this point, they've just been told that Annie is gunning for them. So it just seems unlikely.
I don't see a world in which Sophie gets on board to boot Jeremiah. So if Alex and Jake get from Annie, like, especially if Annie goes to Alex and says, let's vote out Jeremiah, Alex will go back to Jake with that. And then Jake will go to Sophie and Sophie's going to say, absolutely not, I'm not doing that. And then that's where this gets messy. I do think it was potentially a mistake for Jeremiah and Sophie tonight to not boot Annie. I think they would have been better off with Annie going home instead of Nicole. I think Nicole would have been a little bit more loyal and would have given a little bit more wiggle room. I don't think they realize how close Alex is with Annie.
But I don't realize, I don't even know if they are that close, because Alex seems like, I don't like that Annie just went up to Sophie. Like it's almost like Sophie has like this blackmail. It's not even blackmail. She already spilled the beans again, which I wasn't happy with, but it's almost like there's a strike against Annie and there was no strikes against Nicole. If you keep Nicole in the game, like, why can't Alex and Jake team up with Nicole? And that's a 3-2 against Jeremiah and Sophie. Whereas like now that you've already expressed that Annie is going after Jake and Alex and saying they're a bromance, saying we need to split them up, it like severs one of that duo's outlets. It's like they can't go up to Annie and like form that bond and form that trio. Whereas like if you keep Nicole in, maybe there is a chance of that happening.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, look, the smaller tribes, it's the one Jeff always says he wants them small because it makes complicated votes and there's no easy votes and all of that. I mean, yeah, Nicole just went home 5-1. It seems like it would be an obvious Annie next time, but I think there's still avenues. I'd still probably get to rank Annie at the bottom, but like there's other avenues on this tribe. This tribe is far from a sure thing because there's a lot of different dynamics going on. let's go to Red next, because we'll save the Yellow Tribe because we don't know that much about
Rednecks.
Rednecks. Let's go to Rednecks. Yeah, that's the tribe now instead of Uli, the first like three letter tribe name in forever. What are you thinking about this tribe right now? Because I just want to say one more time, the edit on the fact that Jawan was in the three and was going to find the fourth and then suddenly was not in the three, but there was no anything that really led to, I don't know. That was just weird to me.
It was the fire scene.
Yeah, but it just seemed so weird that all of a sudden Nate was the third. Like then, because then Savannah was saying, we're going to pick our fourth.
And they never did. It's not like that. Like that is like,
I don't know where third is.
No, the third. Okay. So again, this is why I said it was very layered. We just kind of broke down the blue tribe on how like there's overlaps, you know, because you have your Alex, your Jake and your Sophie, and that's a three. You know, it's like when we do brand steal and it's like, okay, there's an alliance of three. Okay. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, well, Jeremiah is with Sophie. That's an alliance of two. And then there's the two bromance, but then together there are four, but then like Alex and Annie are also a duo, but then like Annie and Sophie clearly had, I don't know, some level of trust. So it's like there's a lot going on, and I feel the same way about this Red Tribe, because you have this three person alliance that did come together, but they all have their own kind of ideas of what they want to do. So it was Savannah coming together with Shannon, and we get this weird confessional from Savannah where it's like, I just don't like this kumbaya. I don't like this yoga. I don't like this weird vibe. But I can tell she's a gamer, and I can tell she's did she kind of call her out? Like, I can tell she's kind of bullshitting. Is that That's kind of the essence of this confessional? Like, I can tell she's just being social and she's doing this for tri morale. And she's like, I kind of dig that. Like, let's game with her because this girl's game. And then they like Jawan, and then that's your three. So that's your starting base three, Phil. Are you with me so far? Are you confused?
I'm with
you're,
you.
You're the specialist, man. I should have to break this down
for you. No, I'm with those three. This is where it gets confusing for me.
Right. Well, then Jawan goes about, they're going to have the audition. Like, who's the fourth person for this? And then we see Savannah talking to Nate and getting very good vibes from Nate. I actually thought Nate did a very good job at just being like a chilled, laid back. Like, kudos to the older people tonight. Like, Annie doesn't go home. You already gave Matt props for not like jumping in and being bossy, even though he knows how to do everything in the outdoors. And then Nate, I thought, just had a very subdued, relaxed kind of vibe. But then let Savannah know, like, we're good so far, but we know what's coming. Like, he's like, we're all going to be at each other's throats. Like, let's make sure we're good. And I thought he put out this very confident energy where it's like, yes, I'm strategic. Yes, I'm here to play, but I'm not going to overplay. I'm not going to overdo it. So kudos to Nate. And that's where, at this point, Savannah is out on Jawan because he couldn't make the fire. And so Savannah is like, Nate, like, who do you like? What's going on? Savannah has Shannon. So that's your new three. And then they're like, let's bring in a fourth. And Nate says, well, Rizzo is strong, and he's stronger than he thinks. So I would like to keep our tribe strong, and let's keep Rizzo. So then that becomes the new four, Phil. Are you with me there?
So Jawan is now five.
Well, it depends who you ask. I think at the end of the episode, we were left with Savannah and Nate saying, okay, we still have Shannon in there, so that's three. And then Nate wanted to add in Rizzo as the fourth. And then that would leave Jawan and Sage out of this four. That's the most recent thing we saw from this Red Tribe, yes.
So here's what I gather from all of this, right? This is my take. Originally, I thought this Uli tribe was going to be the disaster tribe.
We thought, I mean, they still can be, right? They still have a chance.
I mean, look, the Green Tribe in 41 didn't lose the first challenge and then just, you know, they had like an advantage at one point. And they still got, my feeling on this Red Tribe is the only person who's going to be pre-merge is Sage. That's my takeaway coming out of this episode. I feel like the other five people, or at least pre-swap, right? Like if there's a tribe swap, I think that you're going to have then potentially, look, I didn't think Thomas was going home after episode one either, right? But a swap can change things up, but based on what I saw, if Red goes to Tribal Council and there is no swap, the only person who's going in the pre-merge is Sage. I think the other five would actually make it to the merge. If a swap happens, who knows? Everything's up in the air. after everything that we heard, though, and all the back and forth and all that, to me, like, Juwan doesn't feel like it makes sense for him to be the second or third person voted out of this season right now. Like, if they were to go to Tribal Council, I find it shocking that he would be the person who gets booted because he didn't make a fire and was kind of annoyed with himself that he couldn't do that. Like, that would be
right.
The most ridiculous arc ever. He had the opening monologue tonight, right? Was that him who had the monologue, or was it
Nate? I couldn't tell. I thought it was Juwan, but then it's like, Nate's the movie producer, so does it fit more?
Juwan's the video editor who would do more horror. True. Like, Nate didn't do horror, but then it was also, they kept showing images of
it back.
Juwan. I don't know. But Sage just feels like she doesn't fit in at all. Sage is done, in my opinion. I think she's toast. I think her and Shannon kind of were talking a little bit about, oh, we might have something in common. To me, Sage feels like she's totally done on this drive. Shannon's even better than I thought.
We didn't get much of Sage. Again, in the preseason, it was so hard for me to differentiate Shannon and Sage just because they were like the two both out there kind of head in the clouds, like into astrology, like kind of the more, I don't know. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It was just kind of, I grouped them together and I didn't get much from Sage this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not get much from Sage at all. Honestly, let me see if the Survivor 49 confessional count is out now, because I felt like Sage.
I think I saw somebody post it in the chat. Did I not?
I don't know if that was real or not. I have to go on Sucks for this right now because it doesn't look like it's on Reddit yet. So please pray for me and pray for my computer and pray for everything.
I saw it somewhere because it was Rizgod was number one. And then I think Alex was
Rizzo
number two.
Had 12. Alex had 11. Jake and Sophie without the E had 8. Jeremiah, Savannah had 6. Savannah only had 6. I felt like she was more prevalent. Juwan, Nicole, and Steven had 5. Nate and Shannon had 4. Matt had 3. Annie, Jason, Christina, and Sophie had 2. And then MC and Sage only had 1. So yeah, on a tribe where a lot of people were getting a lot of confessionals, Sage was just completely overshadowed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do you disagree with that? Do you feel like this is being set up as something that's important for the pre-merge, or do you feel like this is something that's being set up as important for later on in the game?
I mean, probably both, right? I mean, it's like not like this red tribe is going to get completely decimated for the merge. These relationships matter, but I mean, mm-hmm. I also envision them losing at least once. I think, yeah, I mean, it's the premiere. We got to know where people lie.
Do you think Sage would be the first person to go, though?
It does feel that way, yes.
It does.
It does feel that way.
Yeah. It almost feels too easy, and maybe that's just
how it might be.
It is that easy.
It might be too easy. We don't know.
All right, let's talk about Hina tribe. Speaking of, I don't know. Let's
yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know.
Why? What I'm confused about is they dominate the first challenge. They are going to win immunity. Why totally kind of disregard them throughout the middle of this? Like, Jason, I just went through it all. Jason had 2. MC had 1. Matt had 3. Like, we didn't hear from them at all. That's 6 people.
Yeah, I got nothing from, sorry to interrupt you.
But no, you're
fine. I was just trying to like hop in when you said that. Like Jason, I have nothing from other than that he plays video games. Like that's the only thing I know.
And
Christina, I don't know anything else about Christina other than that she's afraid of birds.
Yep.
Matt, I know that he's good outdoorsman. MC, I know nothing about. Sophie, I know nothing about. I know Steven has imposter syndrome. He's smart and scientist. He's excited about being vulnerable. Steven's like the main character of this tribe, it feels like. It's almost like that Edge of Extinction tribe where Aubrey was like the main character before Tribal Council, where it was all told from her POV. We didn't get a confessional from anybody else. And it's like,
yeah,
she's going up to people, confirming the plans. And like, you're in it with Aubrey, and that's all you get. You don't get the other POVs. And it's like kind of where I feel we're in this tribe with Steven. I know a little itty bitty bit about Matt, but it's like this feels like Steven's tribe, and he's either going to like rise above it and like put together an alliance, or he's not fitting in. He's going to get ousted. Like like one or the other.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time with Steven. We heard we heard about the hearing aids and how people treated him. We got him to talk about feeling like he was a bully or bullied, all that. This tribe reminds me of Nami from 46, where there's a lot happening all around them, but there's not really much happening with them. And that was, if you think about coming out of the premiere of that first episode of Survivor 46, you didn't know Randon. You didn't know Soda. You didn't know Tevin. You didn't really know Hunter. You knew Venus a little bit, and you really didn't know Liz. That's kind of how this tribe feels to me. And what happened with that tribe? Liz goes to Final Four, gets, you know, a really small edit despite being a fourth place finisher. And the rest of that tribe was pretty much all gone by the time we were early merge. And so I could see that being a similar situation here where maybe Steven is the only one who goes pretty far, or as people are saying here, maybe Steven is a crash out and Steven, you know, blows up. But I don't know Sophie at all. I don't know MC at all. And like you said, Christina, we only know that she's scared of birds and has phobia. Like, that's it. At least we know that much about her. But like, this tribe is...
At least it's something.
Nothing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hard for me to say where the alliances lie right now. Like, who's in with who? Like you said, you saw MC and Christina doing challenge legs together. Like, that's really what we're going off of? I guess we have to.
Yeah. Yeah, and because like... Matt, again, that's why Matt stood out to me too, because even though he didn't have all the confessionals that Steven had, Matt had it showed he's very, very knowledgeable and very aware of what's going on around him, right? Like, he's very aware of how he's going to be perceived. I think a lot of that has to do with his job, his career path, where he's gone in his life, all of that. And so I do think that that's the benefit for Matt right now, is that he is somebody who understands that he has to be a little bit of a chameleon. And we heard that and we saw that. But I still don't know who he would go and play the game with if they had to go to tribal council tomorrow. I don't think he'd be the first boot, but I don't know who he'd play with.
Yeah, it was that conversation he had with Steven was odd, because I couldn't really parse out the vibes. Like, Steven, we get from him that he's paranoid, just... Do people even like him? Like, is he going to be the first brute? And then him and Matt are carrying this giant log down the beach. And Steven's like, hey, like, are we good? And like, I didn't get the vibe from Matt being like, yo, you're my number one. We're good. Let's like make an alliance here. Matt's like, well, hopefully it's not us.
Yeah.
Good luck, Steven.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're good. I don't know. It's like, I did not pick up on like who's actually playing the game with each other on this track.
Well, because what was also very weird is like, then Steven's having that conversation with Matt and it feels like it's going to be the alliance.
That's what you're expecting. Yes.
And then you literally just hear Steven being like having the exact same conversation with two or three other people. Mm-hmm. So it's just a head scratcher. Like, it really is just a head scratcher.
Is he good? Is he good or is he not good?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't.
Well, that's why we keep watching.
That's why we keep watching. Exactly. And you know what? It's okay to be coming out of this episode not knowing everything, right? It's okay. That's fine. Although I am curious and mildly confused coming out with this Hina tribe. I don't know that. And I think that's where there was no idol talk, no advantage talk, no searches, none of that. And I come out of this premiere knowing 7 of the 18 people.
I think a little better than 7.
Name them. Go.
Should we go through it? Okay.
I want you to. Yeah.
I feel like I know where Juwan's at.
Yep.
I know where Nate's at. I know where Rizzo's at. I don't know Sage, but I actually know where she's at.
But you don't know her. Yeah.
I don't know her. Okay. But I know Savannah and I know Shannon. So that's 5 out of 6 on red.
Yep.
Okay. Alex, we got a lot from.
Yep.
Annie, though, I don't have it a lot from. Like, I got enough from Annie. Like,
but I don't really know Annie. I know where she stands, but I don't know
Annie. No, I feel like I know enough, though. From one episode, I think we got.
I'm not counting her.
Like, she went up to Sophie with, like, a counter plan almost of this vote. And she has her relationship with Alex, and she, like, doesn't want to be a call to mother. He's talked about being an entrepreneur and then like being bossy. So like I think we got more of Annie than you think.
Okay.
She just wasn't that like, she didn't pop. I'm not saying she's a great TV character so far, but like we got enough.
Okay.
Jake, I get.
Yep.
Jeremiah, I get.
And Sophie.
Nicole, I get because she's gone.
Yeah, that's true. So there's 11.
And then Sophie, I got two. Okay. So like out of the blue and red tribes, that's like 11 out of 12. I think Sage is the only one where you're like, what's going on there? And then I know Matt and Steven off those. So that's 13 out of 18, I would say.
So 13 out of 18.
Better than 7, Phil. Come on, let's be a little more positive as we start a new season.
That's true. Okay, you're good. You're good. I get what you're saying here. But I guess even there, it's like you might it's all very like superficial off the top, whatever. And that's fine. Like, I don't need to watch backstories or anything like that. I'm just saying, with how much time was truly spent on beaches, I don't know. There was no, I didn't find myself being like, I gravitate so immediately to this person. Or like last season, you think about the Joe and Eva moment, immediately had people rooting for Joe and Eva right off the bat. Now that can't happen every season. I get that. But normally you're going to have a Cochran, a David Wright, somebody like that. Even like
Rizzo.
Does Rizzo fit that though? Or is that because we know that
Rizzo, I think Rizzo is his own flavor. And I like that. I don't think we've seen, like I said, like he's not this nerdy archetype. Like he doesn't know how to do puzzles.
Okay. Okay. You're right. Okay. Okay.
I just think, Phil, I think it's not about not knowing the people or the cast. I think you can maybe argue that like we spent a lot of time at Camp Life and on beaches. Was the content all that exciting, good, or interesting?
It was.
I think that's maybe the question. And I think the answer there is no, like nothing that wild happened. Like,
and maybe
there just wasn't, it was just people kind of, oh, I'm from this, I do that. Like, I am hard of hearing. I play video games. I'm from Albania. I got the machete. I didn't get the machete. I'm going to steal a shoe. Like, there wasn't anything that was like, whoa, from
and
camp
maybe
life.
That's what it is. It's the same beats as like every other season without the idol stuff. And maybe when I'm saying 7, maybe that's where my head's going of like, these are people that I'm actually like finding a rooting interest in is 7. Mm-hmm. Not 13, because you can't say, even if you know those 13, there's not a rooting interest for all 13 of those. Maybe that's where my head is going a little bit more on this. Maybe I'm just saying the wrong thing. Again, it's early, so there's plenty of time for things to turn around, heat up, whatever. I mean, I was coming out of last season's premiere loving that premiere. I know you weren't nearly as high on it, but I loved that premiere last season. Season 48 is not a very good season. And so like, here we are coming out of this one and I'm feeling very lukewarm. I felt the length of this episode. And that's saying a lot, because right now I'm currently rewatching One World to get ready for our Patreon coverage.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Pray for us. We're recording that soon. But yeah, I guess Rizzo is going to be the star. But I guess what's also happening for me right now is I'm looking for a different star almost purposefully. And I don't know if that's the right way to watch this season. I think that's what's going to be very difficult about watching this season. And I think it was difficult when we were doing Millennials vs. Gen X, but we also had the rooting interest of Adam Klein was a fan of us. So that made it very easy to also focus on Adam Klein, while we also knew that Michaela and Zeke were going to come back and play again. And I think I'm looking for the others right now. And I think for me, the others that stood out are Alex, but Alex also went and had to do the hero challenge.
Alex was great. Alex surprised me. I thought Alex was a lot of fun tonight.
I got Alex in the third round of our fantasy draft. You guys were so low on
him. I was not high on him coming in just because I didn't think he was going to fit in on his starting try, but he seemed to fit in very nicely.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm rambling a little bit there, but I think that I'm looking for that other person to cling on to. And look, Nate surprised me. I really liked Nate in this episode. Like, I don't feel like I've talked about that enough. He really did surprise me. And I thought that the way that he was handling himself and what he was doing and saying, I PA'd on this, whatever. He doesn't have a producer vibe. And like, you know what I mean by that, because you've obviously been around enough producers. I mean, you yourself are a producer, not for Marvel, but you know, like
not for Marvel. No,
unfortunately, if Will was a producer for Marvel, this podcast would have better cameras. But the thing is, like, when we sit there and I look at Nate, I say, wow, he really does have a much more reserved demeanor than I was expecting for the type of person that they're probably trying to put on the season, which I really liked. So I was impressed with him.
Well, see, it wasn't his demeanor that impressed me, because I feel like when you are kind of the older guy, you're going to be more laid back. You're going to be more chill. You just don't have as much of this like youthful energy that we see so much from, like, oh my God, I'm on Survivor. Like, that's what we see from so much of the new era cast.
That tonight, did we?
No, I know. I don't think so. When would we have heard that?
I mean, I'd definitely be the same way. I make fun of it, but I'd be the same exact way.
Yeah. But I thought Nate was very good. Like, he was savvy with the game. And I think that's what surprised me more so than his demeanor.
Yeah. 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 So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not looking to complain. I just think there's certain things. Like, I'm coming out of this again. I'm feeling lukewarm. I'm looking for something a little bit more. I don't know.
Long season. Yeah. Like I said, I don't think many people are sitting here being like, this was a fantastic episode of Survivor. But as far as premieres go, like, I think it got the job done, and hopefully we have better episodes in store.
Yeah. 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 Were you able to watch The Next Time On or no?
Yeah.
Okay. You did. What did you think about that Next Time On?
I already forgot it.
Well, I think that's the point I'm getting at. It was very short. It was very, like, normally those first ones are
someone
like,
was a Karen, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's it's what we Annie about, was a Karen, and they had Jeremiah laughing again, which, like, who would have thought?
Oh, wasn't
like,
there something at a mat on the mat at the challenge, like a twist,
yeah,
or
yeah,
whoa, big decision?
Yeah, right off the bat.
They're all the same. That. They're all there to tease you. You can't buy any of it. I kind of, those things enter one ear, go out the other.
But for me, what I think I was like realizing with it was, it didn't feel like it was setting up like that there was going to be like idol talk or any of that stuff coming up either. Like, that's what stood out to me from watching that, is it didn't seem like, oh, now they're dashing around, they're looking for this, they're looking for that. It was a very short Next Time On, and we had the shoe bandit again where Jake was hiding things. So I don't know.
There you go. Shoe bandit's back, baby.
Shoe bandit is back. What else about this episode? Anything else? I know we normally the premiere ones are a little bit longer, but I don't know if that's going to be the case tonight.
I think we covered it, man. I don't want to just ramble here. Make sure for the over under game that does not count as a puzzle.
What do you mean?
For the challenge. The immunity challenge did not end in a puzzle. The other two challenges did.
Actually, oh, you guys no. did?
No, no
the first one didn't. Oh, no, the first one did.
Actually, it didn't. No, but it didn't end in it. It was ending. It ended in ringing a bell, which is not a puzzle. The second challenge ended in spinning the wheel, which is not a puzzle. And the third challenge did not end in a puzzle.
Wait, so none of these ended in puzzles because she had to jump at the very end. See, that's I didn't right. do the over-under game with you guys, so I'm not even aware of what's going on right now.
Right. So I'm just letting you know there were no challenges that ended in puzzles tonight.
Okay.
Because okay. that table maze is not a puzzle.
It's I'm like, literally going to put zero.
It's not even right a maze. Now. It's a labyrinth. It's a carnival. You don't have to solve it.
Yeah.
Nothing to put together or solve.
I need interns. Got our intern Robert has to make the prop bet choice table here so that I can keep going with that. But I did have
prop bets here. That's crazy.
I think the episode title was Jawan because it was in the voiceover at the beginning. So I think it was him.
I think that was Jawan. More likely than not, that was Jawan.
Sophie had a blurred mouth. Sophie without the E. She had a blurred
Nicole
mouth.
Nicole should have had a blurred mouth.
Yeah, dude, please, next time, give us a warning that there's about to be vomit. Five or fewer votes goes to Nicole. She had five exactly. 10 or more confessionals in the episode. That was Alex and Rizzo. So there you go. Goes on a journey. That's Alex and Rizzo. Confessional in every episode. That's Nicole.
Okay. I thought you were going to just list everyone that has one so far. I was like, all right. It's the premiere, man. Everyone's got one.
That would be the whole cast right now. But yeah. I can tell you with almost absolute certainty that if Red doesn't go to tribal council next time, I don't think Sage is going to hit that prop, everybody. I don't feel good about that.
Hey, you never know. She likes poop.
She does like poop. I know. It's just like that's where weird, man. I don't even know what to make of that.
Clifo says Alex blurred mouth too, and Rizzo cried a physical tear.
We didn't do physical tear this year.
Okay.
We replaced that with blurred mouth because I was over trying to figure out if people were crying physical tears. When did Alex blur his mouth?
I don't know.
I got to find that.
Do you trust St. Cliffo or not?
I don't trust St. Cliffo. Blake loves St. Cliffo because St. Cliffo says nice things about Blake, but I don't trust St. Cliffo.
One of the few.
One of the few, dude. I mean, it is few and far between. But tomorrow, I will be live with Blake, 5 p.m., digging deeper. We're also going to be live with Tony Squares, which I don't know if anybody follows Tony Squares. He does NFL stuff, but he's also been watching. I don't think he's seen them all, watching the seasons in order. And he puts out very, very funny, very good TikToks and Instagrams about the seasons he's watching. And he currently just put one out about One World. It's just so spot on. It was just all about, and here's a man who's stupid and does nothing. And then he gets into like, Troyzan's pretty interesting. I like that. Tarzan, some of you think is cute. But here's another stupid man who does nothing. Dude, watching One World right now, I'm like, that's a great review. So Tony Squares is going to be live with us tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. John and McKenna will be doing Survivor Rewind tomorrow after. So that'll also be happening. And then on Sunday, I'll be live with Mitch for predictions and power rankings. So getting a 48er in right off the bat. So everybody make sure to tune into that. That'll be at 10 a.m. Eastern time because I got to watch the Lions play the Browns at 1 p.m. And Mitch actually is going to a finale party for Big Brother, which I think is more important and probably why we're doing it at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And then on Monday, Tegwith premieres her brand new show on the channel called Matt Chat, which she will be doing with Elaine from Survivor 39. So this is
going to talk about Matt the whole time.
The whole time. Yeah.
If Matt gets voted out pre-merge, what is she going to call the show?
I
stumped you there.
I'm not even going to address this. Yeah. Thanks, Will. Not what I needed right now. Anyway, so those are all of the shows. So if you're like, wow, you got the recap, make sure you subscribe, make sure you tune in because we're going to be having an episode coming out 4 days a week as the season goes on. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of good guests coming up. The Predictions and Power Rankings episodes are loaded this season. Absolutely loaded. We start off with Mitch. I'm not going to say who we have second, but who we have second is also a massive one. And I'm very excited for her. So we're doing a lot of good stuff here and Tegwith doing her own show. I'm always excited about that. She's going to have a guest on that for every episode. And I'm pretty sure she already has like her first eight booked. And again,
she's got heavy hitters too.
And it's heavy hitters and it is deep cuts. There are some deep cuts that I'm very excited to see how people are like reacting to that. Hyro asked, are there going to be exit interviews? No, hopefully I get them in the same way that I got them last season where we get to do them after the finale, but there won't be weekly exit interviews for this season, unfortunately. But yeah, that's everything, right? Patreon.com/a specialist. If you want to jump in and play our power rankings game, you can do that. Top tier patrons can play in the power rankings game. You've missed the fantasy game, unfortunately, but you can still participate in the power rankings game and get a chance to win a prize there. We're doing Every Season Matters. We are finishing South Pacific and getting into One World. We are almost through hell. We're almost out the other side, but my God, we are suffering. So yeah, One World coming up, but it is fun. Talking about the bad seasons, Will always says, is more enjoyable than talking about good seasons. And right now, we are talking about bad seasons.
It's just not fun to watch the bad seasons, but it's fun to rip into them after.
It is. It is. I still cannot believe, as I just watched it for the second time in my life, because I don't think I've ever rewatched One World, when they give up immunity, man, that is still to this day.
That's great TV, though. That's actually good. That's like one of the best episodes.
We're probably going to do a whole episode about that, because there's nothing else to talk about with One World. And then Philippines is around the corner. Casting perspective, we got Rock Draw coming out next week, Will and I. Q&A next week, plenty of stuff there. My after show will premiere tomorrow, also for top tier patrons. John and McKenna Rewind. I'm finishing Australian Survivor. Last episode goes out on Friday, but then I will continue to do Australian Survivor episodes. It just won't be recapping episodes that have been seen. And I'll end with this. If you're really excited for Survivor 50, we put out so much Survivor 50 content that if somehow you missed our Everything You Need to Know About series or our Best Defining Episode series or just any of the episodes that we did regarding Survivor 50, go check them out and get super excited. We put out probably close to 70 episodes about Survivor 50 over the summer. So go check those out. It was so many.
It's still refreshing to be able to talk about a new season. We got a brand new cast that's graced us tonight. So hopefully good things ahead for 49. Because, man, we talked to 50 to death.
We did. But I'm just letting you all know that it's there. Anyway, so that's it. Like this video. Subscribe to the channel. Thank you all so much for listening. Let us know what you thought about the premiere, who you think's taking this thing home. And I'll see you tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Eastern time with Blake and Tony Squares.
See ya.
I'll let you get that in, man.